We're holding your testament bays about 10 lines from the bottom, Tananabanam. The line begins Vatit. Tananabanam, we learn in the Braisa, a very famous story. Pamach, all the koi to all the regular Yerushalayim. One time all the Jewish people came on the leader regular to Yerushalayim. Lahoy lahem mayim mishtres, and they didn't have enough water to drink. Some Mepharshim say because it was a year of a drought. Other Mepharshim say maybe not even, maybe it was a year with normal rain, but there were a lot of extra people coming to Yerushalayim, so they were running out of water. Whatever it is, Halach Nachdimin ben Gurion ate from Adon Echad. So Nachdimin ben Gurion, who was a very rich Jew in those days, he's one of the three rich Jews that we learn about in Gittin from the years before the Churban, goes to a certain Goyish nobleman. Amalai, he said to him, Halveni shtem esri minus mayim la'olah regalim, lend me 12 springs of water to give water to the olah regal. Vani etn l'cha shtem esri enos mayim, and I will return you 12 wells of water. In other words, by the time I have to pay it back, it'll have rained, and then your wells will be refilled. But actually, what?
So he said it's been raining a whole year, so
that's true, right? So it seems like it must have been a drought, yeah. But it could also be that he had made up a long period of time. Maybe this may have happened, let's say, right before Sukkot or something. Maybe by the time it's supposed to come, it's a year later. I don't know. Anyway, so I'll give you back 12 wells of water. Now Rashi points out what it is. These are springs. You would think, what do you need rain in order to refill springs for? But they were springs, water was coming out of them, but not so quickly. So unless there was rain, they would take them a very long time to refill. And if I don't return you, if it doesn't rain by that time, then I'll give you 12 kikar of silver, which is a huge amount of money. Marshall points out he was doing 12 and 12 because he wanted 12 wells to invoke the schut of the 12 shvatim. And if rain doesn't end up coming, then fine, he'll give him silver as a pidyon nefesh on behalf of the 12 shvatim. The Kabbalah is man, and he set him a time. There's a certain deadline, a certain date by which you're going to either have back your water or I'll give you the silver. Kivinchi Giazman, the time came, the rain didn't come. Vashachris Shalach Loi, right away in the morning, the guy sends a messenger to Nakdivin. Shagri Li Omai, my mouth, Sheshli Biotcha. Send me either the water or the money that you owe me. Shalach Loi, Nakdivin tells him, Adain Yeshlizman, Kolayam Kolay. Adain Yeshlizman, I still have time, Kolayam Kolay, Shalihu. The whole day belongs to me. Marsha points out that the because what it is like this. They had agreed he has up till this date, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan or something, to pay it back. So that, is it including or excluding? And the guy figured excluding,
right.
Therefore he says already in the morning, already from the guy, the night goes after the day, the night begins at midnight, but fine, as of midnight or as of the morning, whatever you owe me. And Nakdimin is telling him, no, I hold that it's ad v'ad v'fal, it includes today as well.
And he's right, because there was
no agreement.
Yeah.
But also,
it's almost
like it's hopeless.
Then
it's like, okay, you know you're not
going to get it. Maybe. That was later in the day, actually. In the afternoon, the guy sent to him again, Shagalu, my mouth, Yeshli Biotcha. Give me the water or give me the money that you owe me. Shalachlai, Adain, Yeshli, show us. But yeah, I'm not doing Ben-Gurion tells to send him back. I still have time in the day. Which Marshall says, this was going along the same thing. The guy is arguing, okay, fine, I agree with you maybe that you didn't owe me as of this morning. But okay, we're not sure, because we didn't specify whether this day is included or not. So fine, half and half. And Nakdimin tells him no, the whole thing.
Too bad, you're lost.
But Mincha Shalach Loi, Mincha time, late in the afternoon, he sends him, Shagali Aymai, give me the water or give me the money that you owe me. By now the guy is figuring, already it's not gonna rain this late in the day. Shalach Loi, Adain Yeshli Shoros Bayam. So Nakdimin tells him, I still have time. Ligligov Olav Oise Adem. That guy, the Goyish nobleman started laughing at him. Oh my kolah shana kula la yodu shamim, the whole year rain didn't fall. The achshav yodu shamim, and now all of a sudden rain is gonna fall. In this last hour or two before sunset. Yep. Nichnas, or Magoyes Bach says, Miyad Nichnas the Beis HaMechitz V'Simcha, right away he goes into the bathhouse happily. The bathhouse, Marshall says, he's like trying to show, you guys didn't even have water to drink. Me, I have enough water, we're in the bathing. Adsha Adon Nichnas V'Simcha to the Beis HaMechitz, meanwhile, as this nobleman is going in happily into the bathhouse, Nachdimin Nichnas the Beis HaMikdash, Kshu Asim, Nachdimin went into the Beis HaMikdash, upset. He's not upset that he's going to lose the money. Okay, you know, the money is the money, but he's upset that it's going to make a chilul Hashem. It's going to look to the guy like the Eibishter doesn't answer our tefillahs. And one of the Mepharshim actually says, why Dafka did he go to the Beis Hamikdash? This was in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, obviously, but why specifically did he go into the Beis Hamikdash? I mean, hundreds of shuls around Yerushalayim. The reason is because in the Beis Hamikdash they did Nisuch HaMayim. He wants to invoke the schutz of that, they want to invoke the schutz of that, of that mitzvah.
Also, it's like, I would guess a lot of people everywhere,
high school field, like, fair enough. Of course, but other things, the fact that the Gemara makes a point of mentioning he went to the Beis Mikdash. Anyway, Nisatja Vomit Vitfila, he wrapped himself up like you do before you daven, and he stood up to daven. Amar Lafanav, he says to the, before the Eivishter, Rabbanu Shalom, Golev Yadu Lafanecha, it's well known before. Nisatif doesn't necessarily mean he wore a talis. It means he dressed himself up nicely, like he put on your jacket, you know.
Sounds like
a but okay, I mean, that's how they dressed in those days. When you're standing in front of a king, you wrap yourself. I think actually one of the Mepharshim says that the vote is, why do you wrap yourself when you're davening? Why do you put the talis over your head? In order to block out other things so you don't get distracted. He also, so you can concentrate fully on his davening.
And also some places like that.
It's well known before you that I didn't do this whole thing for my own honor, and I didn't do it for the honor of my father's house. I did it for your honor. There should be plenty of water available for the other regal. Miyad Miskash Rishamayim Ba'avim, right away the heavens got overcast with clouds, V'yodu G'shamim, and rain started falling, Ad Shenismalo Shtemes Yomayim Nismayim, until the 12 springs, the 12 wells got refilled, V'hoisiru, and there's even extra, there's more water in them than when he borrowed them. Ad Shiyasa Adrim Beis HaMechah, Nachdim Ben Goyen, Yasa Beis HaMikdash. So as the guy is leaving the bathhouse, Nachdim Ben Goyen is leaving the Beis HaMikdash. Shepagu Zebazeh, they meet up with each other on the street, Amalai, so Nachdiman tells him, "Can they make my yotish? She actually biyacha. Now you gotta pay me for the extra water." He didn't mean it seriously, Mashal. So he's just saying, like, you're laughing at me before that rain's not gonna fall. Now I did have the jokes on you.
Right.
Amalai, so the guy tells him, "Wait a minute. Yedayani shleihira shakarish brocha elam elabushmilcha. I say lama elabushmilcha. Okay, I know very well that Hashem only tumult the whole world for your sake. That there's no natural way that after a whole season, for you." Specifically for your people collectively. But, he says, so very well, okay, fine, you win that round, okay, your Eivishter is able to, your God is able to make rain, fine. El Adayin Yeshli Pischan Pe'alecha, I still have an excuse against you, Sha'otzi Mimcha'es Ma'otzai, that I'll be able to get my money out of you. Shekar Shekachama, the sun already set. The rain already fell, it's my time.
The rain fell before she gets the time.
No, but that's the point, it seemed that it was already Shia. Wait. So rain in my Rishus. Marsha says, I mean, the guy seems to kind of be contradicting himself. If the Eivishter did the whole thing for Nachdiman Ben Gurion's sake, then what makes him think he's going to be entitled to the money after all? He's arguing basically that Hashem is kind of doing like a good thing for each of us. You know, you wanted your water, fine. You prayed to your God and He gave you water. But after all, you know, He wanted me to get something good out of it also.
That's just saying, it's all mine, because I get the water and the money.
Well, he's saying, okay, you know, fine, I'll concede, you know, your tefillah's accomplished something wonderful, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Chazav
nichnas v'et mikdash, so Nachdimin goes back into the v'et mikdash, nis'atif, he wraps himself up again, v'amad v'tfilah, and he stands up to daven, v'amad l'fonav, v'rebunish l'olam, hoida shiyash lecha ahuvim ba'ilamecha. Show that you have beloved ones in the world. Show that you did this rain in a way that's clearly for us. Miyad nispazru oven, right away the clouds cleared up, v'zor chachama, and the sun shone. In other words, what happened is the sun had stood still. The guy had figured enough time has passed, you know, I saw where the sun was in the sky before, by the time I went to go to the bathhouse and so forth, you know, the sun must have already set. Meanwhile, now the clouds all of a sudden clear, and you find the sun is still where it was, or at least it hasn't moved all the way that it would have. Yeah, so an open nest. But Oysa Shah Omalay Oda, and at that time the nobleman says to him, Ilula Niktira Hachama, if the sun had not Niktira means literally means pierced through. Makadrin Baharin we had back in. Yeah. So there's actually three different girsais over here. The girsai that we have is Nikduru, which means that it pierced through.
There's another Gersa Nikdama, which means like it went ahead, like it stayed ahead of where it would normally be. And the third Gersa in En Yaakov is Nakda, like it stayed in the same Nakuda, in the same point in the sky. Whatever, it all amounts to the same thing. Anyway, so the guy tells him, you know what, yeah, if that hadn't happened, I would have had an excuse against you, that I would get my money out of you. Like this, you know, I lost even that. Actually, though, the Chassam Sofer says a very interesting and kind of scary thing. He says, so what happened? The Chassam Sofer understands the Gemara here not to be saying that the sun stood still. He understands it to be saying that the sun had actually set. It really had set.
That's
but
right.
Then the Edishter turned it backwards.
So
it's back up in the sky. Now, what happens? Obviously, it's an open mess, and obviously the guy is crestfallen by the whole thing. But after all said and done, it would mean the sun really did already set, and the guy really has a valid claim. It's true, Nachdimon owes him the money. The water, very nice, but he still owes him the money. So what happened, then, Chassam Sofer says, the Nachdimon ended up keeping the money. He's not going to use it because you don't benefit from Mais and Nisim. We're going to have later on in the parak a couple of stories about that, about how you don't use things that you receive derech nes. He must have given it all to Tzedakah, but he gave it to Tzedakah, very nice, 12 kikar of silver. It's a lot of money, but he wasn't really giving it l'shem shemayim. I mean, he gave it because like he has no choice. He himself can't use it. The Gemara in Sugas has an expression that Nakdimon, even though he gave Tzedakah, he didn't give as much as he should have. And the upshot is, the Gemara says over there, after the Churban, his daughter was he and his in-laws and everyone lost all their fortune, and his daughter was reduced to finding scraps of food on the streets. It's in Subbath.
It's
in Subbath, yeah. But so that's what happened. Because why? So the Chassam Sofer says there's two things involved over here. Number one, because he didn't give as much stock as he could have. But number two, because in a way, after all, he shouldn't have kept the money. It's Gezel Goy. If after all, the sun really did set, and just the Eber should turn the clock back, he really does owe the guy the money. Okay, the guy gave up on it. Still doesn't mean he should have told him, you know what, you're right, the sun did set, I do have to give you the money. The fact that he didn't, Gezel Goy, is why that happened.
There is such a thing as
Gezel Goy, yeah.
Only second is
set. According to Chassam Sofer, yeah.
Is it the same as Gezel General?
No, I mean, there's Gezel of a Jew and there's Gezel of a Goy. There's slightly different dinim between them. For example, there's a din of Toth, Goy versus Toth, Yisrael, etc. When we get to Bava Kamma in a couple of years, Bez Hashem, we'll have a whole sugya about that towards the end of Bava Kamma. But whatever, the point is, there is such a thing as Gezel, you know, Gezel is also from a Goy as well.
I don't think he would have waited so late. You know, the same thing that David would have thought an hour earlier. He was worried about the time.
Some Mepharshim say he could have already started davening in the morning. He didn't want to because he wanted that when the rain comes, it should be shown that it's an open. That should be shown that it's clearly for the benefit of the Jewish people, not just stamina rain. But yeah.
Also, he was a little bit spurred on by the comment of the.
Maybe. Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Lo Nakdimon Shmei Ela Buni Shmei. His real name was not Nakdimon. His real name was Buni. So why is he called Nakdimon? Because the sun pierced through, or that it went ahead for his sake. And therefore he's called Nakdimon, Meloshin Nikdura or Meloshin Nikdima.
Piercing, or
standing still, whatever, yeah. Tanana, bottom we learn in the Braisa, Shloshin Nikdima Lohem Chama. There's three people in history that the sun stood still for them, Baburan, for their sake. Moshe, Yoshua, and Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Now, actually, Tosfos points out in Avodah Zarah, and Tosfos Reed also points out there are a couple of other cases in history where the sun stood still for somebody. By Yaakov, it says, by Yizrach Lo Yashemesh, the sun stayed in the sky extra hours for him in order to heal him from his lip. After the fight with the Malach.
That was
the fight was during the night, and this is early in the morning.
It is
extra. By Yizrach Lo Yashemesh, that it rose early for him. You also have by Chizkio. There's a story over there. No, during the night he fought with the Malach, and the next morning we're talking about. Early in the morning. That the sun rose early.
Why?
In order to heal him from his lip, because the sun has healing powers. But there's also the case of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is very sick at the same time that Sennacherib is besieging Yerushalayim. Yeshaya comes and tells him you're going to die because you didn't marry. The whole story in Brachos over there. He ends up davening to the Eibishter. The Eibishter says, I'm going to give you 15 years extra of life. And when Yeshaya comes back and gives him that nevuah, Chizkiyahu asks for a sign from Hashem. And Yeshaya tells him, you have a choice. Either the sun can move ahead 10 hours or it can move back 10 hours. And Chizkiyahu says, it'll be a bigger, obvious net if it moves back 10 hours. And tachada. So why don't we count them also? Why don't we count Yaakov and Chassio? Yeah, then the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells the whole story of how the king of Babel found out what happened because they used to wake him up at a certain time of the day, and like this day, when they woke him up, he thought he'd slept much longer. He found out about Chizkiyahu and about this big nest, etc. It's a whole long story over there in Sanhedrin. Anyway, so why don't we count them? And the answer is because in those cases, it was to make up for previous missed time. By Yaakov, why did the sun rise early for him after the night after the fight with the Malach? Because earlier on, when he first came to Har Moriah on his way to Haran, the sun set early, so he had to stay there. So now the Ebeshah is just making it up. Same thing by Chizkiyahu. The sun set early on the day that Achaz, Chizkiyahu's father, died, because he was a Rasha. The Ebeshah didn't want to give him covered by his funeral. So the Ebeshah made the sun set early. So now in Chizkiyahu's time, the Ebeshah made it up. But that's not the same thing as here, where it's stopping the sun without making up for any missed time from before. They buried him. They're burying him, but then they should made the sun set early in order that this way they'll have to be finished with the Leviah, and you're not going to stand around doing a spade.
According to this, then the sun is falling.
Yeah.
If it stood still for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
So when is it going to come back?
I don't know. Actually, the Hakosev in Ein Yaakov. From the Rabbah, says an interesting idea. He says it can't mean in the way that it sounds like that the sun stood still in the sky. The sun moves in the sky because of the Galgal HaYomi, because you have the sphere over there that turns the sun and all the other planets. If it were, or in modern terms, you would say that the Earth stopped rotating. Either way, I mean, we wouldn't have gone on living like that. I mean, if the Earth stopped rotating, then everything would fly off, and if the Galgal HaYomi stopped also. So he says, actually, what it is the Ebeshter created a light source in the sky that just stood there, that looked like the sun. It wasn't the actual sun. The actual Galgal continued turning, the actual sun continued rising and setting. But you had this special light in the sky to look like the sun in order to show the nest.
So they have the same position as the sun?
Yeah, I guess so. And maybe she's a Kol Yachol.
Anyway. It's not the major opinion that...
No, it's not the major opinion, but it's an opinion.
One of these.
It's the Rabbah, it's a respectable opinion. So, Bishleim and Nakdimin ben Gurion Gemara. Okay, the story of Nakdimin ben Gurion we know from the Gemara. We just told it. Yeshua Nami by Yeshua. We know that the sun stopped for him. Krah. We have a pasuk to by Yidam Hashemesh v'yareach alav v'gaiva. He says during one of the battles with the Knanim, the sun and the moon should stand still, and sure enough, the sun and the moon stood still. El Moshe Menolon, but how do we know about Moshe? The sun stood still. Amar Abulazar, Asya Ochel Ochel. We make a Gzeira Shava between the two words Ochel. Ksiv Hacha Ochel Teis Pachtacha. By Yeshua, the Ebeshah tells him, today I will Ochel, I will begin to place your fear on the Goyim. Or actually, I think it says, actually it's, the first one, Ochel Teis Pachtacha, is by Moshe, rather. Hayoyim Azar Ochel Teis Pachtacha V'yirotcha. This is by the battle with Sichon. From last week's parasha, when Moshe tells it over in Parashat Devarim, he tells how the Ebeshah told him that today I will begin to make you fear be on all the nations around the world. By Yeshua it says, "Hayom hazeh ochel gadelcha." This day I'll begin to make you great in front of the Jewish people. So the word ochel teaches us the same kind of nest that happened to Yeshua happened to Moshe. The Kli Yoker says, in particular, that why is the word Ochel appropriate for this? Because we know a general thing, we learn, for example, in Pesach time, that when the Ebeshah punishes a nation, he starts by punishing its gods. So therefore, the beginning, the Ochel, of conquering Sichon, and later on conquering the kings of Canaan, is to make the sun, or the moon, whichever one they worship, stand still. That's to show that it doesn't have any powers of its own.
Hashem didn't punish the sun, though.
No, the point is, just like Chol the came at Shemesh Shvatim, that all the idols melted and whatnot, so the Ebeshter first demonstrates that the fire, whatever deity it is that they worship is under his control, yeah. Rav Shmuel Nachmani Omer, we have a different Gzeira Shava. Ask you taste. We make a Gzeira Shava between the two words taste. Here it says, the Ebeshah says, I will begin to place, taste, Meloshon Nosan, your fear. And there it says, on the day that Hashem gave over the Amorim into the Jewish people's hands, is when the sun stood still. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm asking a gufei to Kura. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't even need the Gzeira Shava. You can see it from the very pasuk itself by Moshe. The pasuk continues that I'm going to begin making you fear be on all the nations. Asher Yishmu and Shimacha, they'll all hear of your renown. They'll all hear about you. V'rogzu, and they'll be nervous. V'cholam upanacha, and they'll tremble from before you. Emesai rogzu v'cholam upanacha. When are they going to fear and tremble before you? V'shashen nikmo lochan l'Moshe. When the sun stands still for Moshe. Rashi on the pasuk says they're a little bit different. That the vort is the pasuk says over there that everybody's going to know tachas kol hashamayim under the whole heavens. Why? Because the sun stands still and everybody sees that it's standing still. The Mishnah said v'chein ir shelo yodur aleh gshamim v'chola, that if you have a city where rain didn't fall on it, and then we said that we quoted a pasuk v'imtarti al irachas, the Eivishter makes it rain on one city v'al irachas lo yamtir, and I don't make it rain on another city. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rab, Ushteyim the Klola. Both halves of that pasuk are talking about a Klola. That not only the one that doesn't get rain is a Klola because they don't have rain, the other one that gets rain is going to get too much of it. It's going to destroy the crops. Since we're talking about that, since we have there, you have an example of a pasuk where it seems the pasuk is telling us something good and really it turns out to be something negative. Now the Gemara is going to give other examples where you have something the other way around. You have a pasuk which seems to say something bad and really there's a hidden bracha in it. The pasuk says in Eicha, "Hoytzi Yerushalayim l'nida b'neihem." Yerushalayim was like a nida among the goyim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, livracha. This is actually a hidden bracha that k'nida, the Jewish people are like a nida. Ma nida yesh laheter, just like a nida is not also forever. Eventually, she becomes tahor. Av Yerushalayim yesh latakana. The same thing. Yerushalayim eventually has gets fixed up, and then Mashiach comes. And Mefarshim say that's why the particular analogy is made to a nida for one thing, because a nida doesn't even have to technically according to the original din Torah, a nida can go to the mikveh immediately when her days of nidus are over, unlike a zava who has to wait shiva nekiyim, whatever. So therefore, it's the idea that you still have shuvah miyad hein negolin. No, we don't mean that. We mean though that the Jewish people in Golos are like a nida in that sense. There's also the idea that dam nida, because that the dam neck of an asacholah, but the blood of nida when a woman is pregnant becomes the milk that she feeds her child with, and the same thing you can have is donus nas and kaschuyas, etc. Another pasuk from Eicha, hoyso kalmon, the Yerushalayim is like a widow. Amar Yehuda, that's also libracha. Ke amana v'loy amana mamash. The Jewish people are like an amana, but not literally an amana. But rather, ela ke'isha, shaholach b'ayilim dinas hayam, like a woman whose husband went away to an overseas country, v'dayta lachto leh, but he plans to return to her. Yeah, what do you mean, hopefully? We know that. There's actually an interesting vart that one of the Mepharshim says that if you read the initials of the words backwards in the pasuk, hoysa ka amana rabasi bagoyim, it's spelled, the Rosh Tevis, so the four words backwards spell out bracha. So you need the word ke'almana to be in there in order for it to spell that. So therefore we see that ke'almana is part of the bracha. In Chassidus it talks about the idea that holach b'ayilim d'nesayam is the idea that za, instead of coming down into malchus, is withdrawn up to chachma. Chachma is like a yam. So therefore that's why the particular analogy in d'nesayam, yeah.
Wait, which one is that?
The pasuk, hoysa ke'almana rabasi bagoyim.
The
first letters. Hoysa ke'almana rabasi bagoyim. Heichof reish and beis. If you read it backwards, it says bracha. The whole pasuk. Eicha yashuv vader hayi rabasi amoysa ke'almana rabasi bagoyim saras b'mdines hoysa lamas. And here the Gemara is quoting the two words hoysa ke'almana. Another pasuk goes, the Eibishter says to the Jewish people, Gama nina sati eschem nivzim ushvalim. Also, I've made you, nivzim, bezayin, yeah, like humiliated, ushvalim and low among the goyim. Despicable and then low. Amar Yehuda, this is also the bracha. Delay mukminin minan loy reishin nari v'loy gziri pati. That the goyim don't appoint us as reishin nari, which are, reishin nari means the heads of rivers. It means people who have to collect, whose job it is to collect the tolls when people are traveling on rivers and canals and whatnot, there has to be somebody collecting the tolls. Tax collectors are always hated people. So it's a bracha that the goyim think so little of us that they don't want to appoint us to that kind of job. And similarly, gziri pati means basically police. Similar idea. The Marsha says the vort is the pasuk the actual pasuk goes nivzim ushvalim l'chol ha'af. we're considered contemptible and whatever by the people. The ruler is talking up. The ruler's record, the rulers of various Goyish countries realize how great and how capable and whatever they are. They would want us to appoint us to such a position. But they know perfectly well that the Goyim wouldn't stand for it, that the local population wouldn't stand for it, and therefore they don't, and therefore we're spared being appointed to jobs like that that are so menial and so hated.
Is it a remnant that we should not accept these jobs?
Basically, I don't know. Here's another one. The pasuk says, "V'hika Hashem as Yisrael kasha yonu b'akonu b'mayim." The pasuk says the Eibishter will hit the Jewish people like a reed shakes in the water. Sounds like a terrible qualla, but Omer Avihu Domer Rav, this is also the bracha. The comparison is actually a bracha. Why? Do Amar of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar of Yonason. My dichtiv, what does it mean? There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Ne'emonim pitzei oyev, the wounds of a beloved one are very trustworthy. You know, sometimes you have like a beloved someone who's beloved to you, like they have to hit you to get you to do the right thing, but they're doing it for your good. But the kisses from an enemy are natoros. Now Rashi says a couple of possibilities. Natoros, number one, can mean the opposite. So they're the opposite of even the hitting of a friend. They're meant for your bad. Even though he's kissing you, he means it for your bad, like Esav with Yaakov. Another explanation is natoros means like they're like too much. In English, there's a word for it, fulsome. Like you have a lot of something so much that it disgusts you.
Russian
Hatar? Yes. Maloshin, how to malai divrechem? You've talked a lot against me. Anyway, so what does that mean? What does that mean? That on the one hand, the friend is wounding you and it's for your good, and on the other hand, the enemy is kissing you and it's bad? It means tova klala shakil achiyah shaloni as Yisrael, the klala that achiyah shaloni cursed the Jewish people when he gave a nevuah to Yeravam's wife about what the future of the Jewish people was going to be, is better, yoisim bracha shabechan bilam arasha, is better than the bracha that bilam arasha gave him in our parsha. What happened? Achia Shalani killed them Bakana. Achia Shalani gives them a koala that he compares the Jewish people to a reed in the water. Amalahem Yisrael, Vikasham Yisrael, Kasha Yonu Rakana. He says that Hashem will hit the Jewish people like a reed shakes in the water. But what's the comparison? It's a good thing. Ma Kana Ze Omin B'Mokam Mayim. A reed stands and grows in a place of water. V'Gizei Machlif. The stalk of it constantly renews itself. If you cut the reed down, it regrows from the roots. The sharash of Merubin, and it has a lot of roots. Even if all the winds in the world, which represent the goyim, come and blow against it, they don't move it from its place. It comes and goes. It waves back and forth with them. And domamu haruchos, once the wind quiets down, and the reed is still standing where it is. So yes, on the one hand, it's a klala that the reed is going to shake back and forth, but after all, it's staying in place. But Bilam HaRasha blesses the Jewish people by comparing us to a cedar tree. Shenema ka'arodim alimayim. Now, ma'erez ha'ene omid b'makam mayim. Now, a cedar tree does not usually stand in a place of water. Now, Rashi points out, what do you mean? The pasuk says over here, alimayim. So he benched us to be like a cedar tree by the water. Rashi says that no. Actually, based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi explains, Bilam himself intended, we know that Bilam intended to curse the Jewish people. Vayachach Hashem alakecha tekol olivracha. One aspect of it is whenever Bilam said something which can have a bad meaning, of the Malach who was accompanying him would immediately add a phrase that turns it to a good meaning. So, for example, Bilam says that the Jewish people should be karodim, like cedar trees, which, as the Gemara is going to say, a cedar tree doesn't usually stand near water, and the Malach has alemayim. They're not just going to be like any cedar tree, they're going to be like a cedar tree that's by the water. And similarly with all the other ones. He says kinecholim, that the Jewish people will be like streams, where the necholim are like the seasonal streams that are in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes they dry up, and the malach as he told you, they're going to be streams that are constantly flowing, etc. So Bilam is comparing us to a cedar tree, which does not stand in a place of water. The ein dizei machlif, the trunk of it does not regrow. If you cut down a tree, that's it, it's gone. The ein shorosh merubin, and it doesn't have a lot of roots. So it's true, it's a strong tree. I feel a color of It's true that even if all the winds in the world blow against it, they won't move it. But as soon as the southern wind, which is a very strong wind, comes and blows against it, a kavtoi by factor upon it uproots the tree and throws it down, and that's the end of the tree. Because it actually explains that ruach dremes he kosher. It's a very strong wind. And Eretz Yisrael, it's a very strong, harsh wind. Rashi quotes from a Gemara in Bavabatu, but there's a special malach that has to hold it back, otherwise it would destroy it.
So that's the spirit of what you just said.
Kol HaRuchah is not a normal wind, but you have the one wind, the Ruch, maybe that's Takwai. Hagoy Sabach takes out a couple of the words over here. Hagoy Sabach takes out the words over here, Enbiz is associated with Koma and Kivin Shinosha, where we're off the Remus. But yeah, once the winds blow against it, then yeah, they knock it down, because it doesn't have very many roots. So therefore, so you see that Bilam's ostensible bracha is worse for us than Nachia's ostensible kala. Veloyoid, and not only that, a reed has an extra special thing. El Shazaka Kana, little Emin Akumus, listed by Sefer Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim. A reed is used to make a pen to write Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. The Sfardim Adayim Azeh use pens made out of reed to write Sefer Torah and so forth. We Ashkenazim use feathers, but the Sfardim still use reed.
They still use.
Yeah, that's why that's one reason why their script looks is more rounded than ours. Yeah.
To this day,
yeah.
They don't use feathers at all.
I don't know if they don't use feathers at all, but their preference is for reeds, yeah. Tanan Abanam, we learn in a Braisa, speaking of this, La'olam Yehe Adam Rach Kana, a person should always be gentle and easygoing like a reed, Va'al Yehe Kasha Ke'eres, he shouldn't be hard and then demanding that the things have to adapt to be my way, like a cedar tree. Maisa Shabbat Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Migdol Dor. It once happened that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon came from Migdol Dor, a base rabbi. He was coming from his rebbe's house. He's riding on a donkey. He's riding along over there by the bank of the river. He's very happy. And he was a shtickle proud of himself. Because he had learned a lot of Torah. Which actually, the Maharal points out. Maharal points out in one of his Sfarim that actually he had a certain reason to feel a little gasdaruach. The fact that it says that he came from Migdol Dor. That represents the greatness of the Torah. It's like a Migdol, like a tower that stands above everything else. It's like a fence around everything else. So yeah, in a way, a Talmud Chacham, we know there's a famous Gemara in Sota, the Talmud Chacham, Atap Shminis Shibishminis, a tiny little bit of Gaiva. But he took it a little too far. He met up with a person who is very ugly. And the guy says to him, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon did not answer him. As of usually you would. But actually, so some Mepharshim point...
As usually you would?
No, usually you would. But the thing is, actually... So that's the thing. So one second. Some of the Mepharshim point out that he had a valid reason not to. In many places in those times, we find in different places in the Gemara, in many places in those times, the custom was that a lesser person does not introduce themselves and greet the greater person. You wait for the greater person to greet you out of Derech Eretz. This guy is all of a sudden coming forward, Shalom Alecha Rabbi, like he's your next door neighbor. Then Rabbi Shimon felt that he's not acting with Derech Eretz. On the contrary, he says to him, Amaloi, Reka, you empty person. Kamamachua, Oso Ish, how ugly is that person? Shema, wait till we get further in the story. I'll tell you what the Rebbe explains about it in the Lechot Tefichas. Wait. Shema kol b'nei ircha mechua and kamoscha. Maybe all the people in your city ugly like you. Amaloi, the man tells him, Eini yadea, I don't know. Ela leich ve'emer le'uman shasani, go tell the craftsman who made me, meaning the Ebishter, kama mechua, klizesh, al tisa, how ugly is this keli that you made? One explanation, so there are a number of Mepharshim who talk about the idea, obviously it's not just the fact that he's ugly that makes Rabbi Shimon talk to him that way, it's the fact that it was a kind of ugliness that you can tell on his face, like he seems to be a person without any chachma or anything. That person is still a person that's still responsible to gain themselves a little chasma. But actually, one second, when the man first he tells him kama mechur oyser ish, then he sort of catches himself. He says, you know what? Okay, maybe you don't know better. Maybe that's how you were raised in a place where they don't know to have derech eretz for tamar chachamim. But still, you know, obviously the guy took it the wrong way. But actually, the way that he answered in a way was a little bit of a smart thing. He answers, first of all, you're asking me if all the people in my city are ugly? Any idea? I don't know. Meaning, as we say in English, I take the fifth. I don't want to say because I don't want to speak badly against the Abish's creation. Oh, so already that already he realizes is a smart thing. Then when the guy continues, you know, you go leif ba'omel umun shasani. Then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon already realizes that this guy's not a foolish guy. Yeah. So the Rebbe explains on the Kutasicha, it's a very interesting idea. Later on, we have right after this, he asks mechila from the guy. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. So then I've asked him, look what the sicha is in Chelik Tesvav. So what was Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon thinking originally when he spoke to him that way? And he says, the Rebbe says like this. We know this concept that there are people who, you know, their only mila is the fact that they're brias. You know, oyvus abrias and makarav and latara. You have people who the only good thing you can say about them is they were created by the Eishtim. Right? And still you have a responsibility to bring such people close. But what happens? Sometimes you have a person who his appearance shows that he doesn't even know that he's a bria. He doesn't even know that he's created by the Eishtim. So what do you have to do? Sometimes then to say to him, shalom is not going to do any good. You have to be mevatel such a person. You have to do bitush. You have to break off the klipa on such a person in order to get to the to so what happens? So the guy answers leichlo umen shasani, go tell the craftsman who made me, which means in a way Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon accomplished what he set out to do. He wanted to break off that outer shell of the guy and make him realize that at least he's a bria, that at least he's a creation of Eved, and Itaka realized it. Once he realized, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon realized that maybe I didn't have to be so harsh about it, and the fact that he responded right away shows that maybe I could have taken a gentler approach to begin with.
Can I ask you a question? Rabbi, many times, it's not as big as that. Isn't that something that's really important?
Maybe. I mean, we did say that he got that Rucha got all of it. It was a little too proud, yeah. So,
so there might be.
Right, that's true. Rashi also Tosfos, yeah, brings that it might have been another Yoh, another is coming to teach him a lesson, yeah. But even so, yeah, if he sees him as ugly, it's true. It's a certain reflection on Emei Nechanami. Anyway, in that Sikha that ever compared it to the idea, you know, we have the famous story when how Avraham Avinu would get people to bench the Eivishter, where sometimes he'd have to force them into it. You know, you don't want to bench the Eivishter, fine, and you know, pay up. You know, you owe me good money for all the food I gave you. And out of duress, the guy would bench the Eivishter. But it's not really out of duress. Every person naturally has an underlying belief in the Eivishter. You just sometimes you have to do that kind of bitterish to bring it out. Here, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon has to do the same kind of thing with this guy.
So why did Akavishko who's sending Yom and Navi tempt him with it? I'm sorry.
So there's a few possibilities, but according to this explanation of the Rebbe, it comes out that maybe it wasn't Eliyahu HaNavi, it was Taka, a person who doesn't even realize that he's Brias, and you have to do that kind of thing. Just as the Gemara is going to say in the end, don't be rugged, don't be used to doing that kind of thing, because it's a very rare case where you actually have to use that kind of heavy-duty medicine, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's different kinds of Anyway, let's continue the story. Kivin Shiyadar Ba'atma Shechata, once the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon realized that he had done wrong, he talked to this guy this way, and he was offended, and the guy was offended, Yorad Menachamur ben Ashtayach Lefanav, he got off his donkey and prostrated himself on the ground in front of him. Yeah. Ba'amalai, and he says to him, Na'nezilach, I've spoken too much against you. Mechali, be mechali. Amalai, the man says, Eini mechalach, I'm not going to forgive you, Ad shetelech l'uman shasani, until you go to the craftsman who made me, but Amalai, and you tell him, Kama mechura please esha asisa, how ugly is this keli that you made?
So
Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is trailing after him until he reaches his city. Once he gets to the city, the people of the city come out to greet him. Shalom alecha, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. They're talking to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Amalahem, the man tells them, Lemiatim Kodim, Rebbe, who are you calling that? Amalah, the Zeshem Atayelach Arecha, that guy who's coming behind you. Amalahem, he says, Zer Rebbe, if that's what you consider a Rebbe, Al Yugo Kamoisa Bistro, there should not be more like him among the Jewish people. Amalahem, if name Math, why, what happened? This he did to me. He told them the whole story. They told him, Afapikain, even so, you know, you have a right to be brigas against him. But after all, Mechaylai, be Mechalim Shadam Gadabatoro, because he is a great person in Torah. Amalahem. So the man says to them, fine, Vishvilcham Hareni Mechaylai, for your sake, I'm Mechalim. As long as he's not accustomed to doing this thing. Which that's what he means, accustomed to. So he's allowed to do it once in a while. So Maharsha says it means he has to be careful not to allow himself to become Baal Gaivadik, to become Gaivadik, which is then going to lead him, which is then going to accustom him to acting like this. And according to the Rebbe's explanation, it's rather, he shouldn't be Rogel. Once in a great while, yeah, you find a person, somebody who's really Mechur, and you have to do something like that in order to break the shell around him. Here, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon realized he didn't have to go for the hard approach right away. He could have done a gentler approach, seeing as how the guy reacted right away and realized that there is an Uman who made me. But nevertheless, there is room for it, and therefore he's saying you just shouldn't be regular to do it. Miyad nichnas Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon v'darash. So right away, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon went into the Mishmedrash and darshin. La'olam yehe adam rach sakana. A person should always be gentle like a reed. Va'al yehe kasha ke'erez. He should not be hard like a cedar tree. Some of Rav Shimon say actually that he's saying it in praise of this guy. After all, the guy was meichel him. So therefore, he's acting like a reed. He's being pliable. He's willing to bend with the winds, unlike the cedar tree that's tough and unyielding. Then before him say he's talking about himself, that I shouldn't have been so unyielding in the first place. Okay, so it's not derech eretz maybe that a simple person should greet the Rebbe. Okay, but I shouldn't have been so particular about that. And because of that, because of the quality of a kana, that it's pliable, that's why it has this chos that they use it for penance to write a sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos. There's a bunch of places in Chassidus where this expression, "Lo'olam yehe adam rach sakana v'ayeh kasha ke'erez," is quoted. There's a number of it in the Kodeh Torah, a couple of places in the Kodeh Torah, a couple of places in various other Maamarim from later Rebbeim that associate the idea rach kasha ke'erez is the midas of Tohu, which are the kasha ke'erez. They're unyielding. Chesed is all chesed. Gvura is all gvura. There's no intermingling between them. And Tohu doesn't last. The Shri is a Kaleh. Whereas Rach Kekana is Olam HaTikun, which is how a person should be, and that's why La'olam Yehodim Rach Kekana. On the other hand, actually, there is an interesting, there's one of the Maimorim of the Frida Kedeva from Tavshin Gimel, where he puts a twist on this. After all, you know, I mean, the Ebershah did create an Olam HaTohu, and there's a reason for it. We need Oris Tohu the Tikun. And sometimes you do need, in life, sometimes you do need the hardness of the cedar tree. So the Frida Kedeva parses the sentence like this, La'olam Yehodim Rach Kekana. When it comes to the olam, when it comes to working with the olam, a person needs to be rachakana. A person needs to act according to olam atikun. The al, but when it comes to the knots, when it comes to the things of the world that you need to fight against, the loisa says and whatnot, yehi kasha ke'erez. Then you have to be hard and unyielding, like a and stolt like a cedar tree. The Mishnah said, "V'chein ir sheyesh ba devrei mepolos chola." That the same thing we said: the city where there's an epidemic or a plague of houses collapsing, then they blow shofar and they fast, and the other cities around them either fast according to the Tanna Kamma or blow shofar according to Rabbi Akiva. Tanna Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa, mepolos shomru. This collapsing of houses that we're talking about is brios. It means it has to be strong houses, not the below ruos, not weak ones. She'en and ruos lifol. It has to be ones that are not suitable to fall, like not ones that you'd expect to fall. So what do you mean? Below ruos lifol, heni or brios. Sorry, Shain and Ru'ias Lipol. It has to be ones that are not expected to fall. V'loya Ru'ias Lipol are not ones that would be expected to fall. The question is, you have a double expression. Hei niu Briyas, hei niu Shain and Ru'ias Lipol. Isn't strong walls the same as ones that are not expected to fall? Hei niu Ru'ias, hei niu Ru'ias Lipol. Isn't shaky walls the same as ones that are expected to fall? What's the double expression? The answer is, Latzricha, the Nafla Machmas Gob Hayu. The Braisa can be talking about a case where they fell because they're very tall. Yes. So in other words, you can have a wall that's built strongly, but because it's built higher and narrower than you would expect it to be, then even though it was built strongly, it still may collapse. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about. Inami, or another possibility, to kaimen aguda de nahara. You could have... No, just plain old love. Bapashas was talking about plain old walls, as far as I love it. Inami, to kaimen aguda de nahara. Or you could have a case where the wall is near the riverbank. Well, because the water is constantly eroding the riverbank, eventually it undermines the wall. So yeah, you could have a very strongly built wall, but it's near the water over there, and therefore it's going to collapse. So therefore you have two different things. Brios means how the wall was built, that it was built strong and not shaky. And Ru'uyas or She'en and Ru'uyas Lipol means that it's not so tall or it's not next to the water or whatever, so it wouldn't be expected to fall. So if you have an epidemic or if you have houses like that collapsing, which are strong and not otherwise expected to fall, that's when you start fasting and blowing shofar. And here's an example. For example, there was a shaky wall in the Hauda. Deloy have a chalif Rav and Shmuel Tusa, where Rav and Shmuel would not walk underneath it. Apagav, the time of Asra, Tzleis HaShinin, even though it had been standing there in the same place, shaky for 13 years. So we see there's an example of a wall that's shaky, but it's not immediately about to collapse. But still, because it's shaky, they felt it's dangerous. Continues the Gemara with the story.
Is there
well, the later on we're going to have Rav Huna used to take care of such things. Okay, Rav and Shmuel, I don't know. So Yom Echad Iklu Rav Adar Ba'Ava L'Hasam, one day Rav Adar Ba'Ava visited their city. Amalei Shmuel Rav. So Shmuel says to Rav, Nesi Mar Nakif, come, let's take the roundabout way. Let's not pass under that wall, as usual. Amalei, so Rav says, Lo Tzricha Idna. This time we don't need it. The Iklu Rav Adar Ba'Ava Ba'Hadon, the Nafesh Tzuse, Rav Adar Ba'Ava is with us. He has tremendous chosim, as we're going to say later on in the Yomah, the special things that he did. V'lei Mistapina, so I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about the wall falling.
He's relying on an
expert. Well, so that later on we're going to have another case of relying on an expert. But the difference, let's learn the next story and then we'll see the difference. Another story. Rav Huna Havalei Havu Chamra Bahu Beisariya. Rav Huna had wine, or it could be
chamra.
So they walked by and they were safe. The wall didn't collapse. It was still standing after 13 years, so now it stood for another day. Rav Huna Havalei Havu Chamra Bahu Beisariya. Rav Huna had wine, or maybe chamara, which would mean a donkey, in a shaky house. Uboy lefanuria, he wanted to get it out of there, but he's afraid. While he's going in to get it out, the house may collapse on him. So he brought Rav Adar Ba'Ava in without telling him that it's dangerous. Mashche b'shmaita, and he got him involved in a discussion of Torah. Adar Panye, while meanwhile he's taking whatever he needs to out of the house. Busted the nafak, and after Rav Adar Ba'Ava left, nafal beisa, the house immediately fell down. We're going to have a similar story later on with Nachum Mishgamdu on Nachum Gimel. Augish Rav Adar Ba'Ava, chbeis actually. Augish Rav Adar Ba'Ava. Ikbad, Rav Adar Ba'Ava realized what had happened, and he was machped on it. He was upset about it. Because he made him rely on a nest, basically. Sabalok, he held to Amr Rav Yane, because he held, like what Rav Yane says, La'olam al-yamad adam amachim sakana, v'yama oisim li'net, the person should never stand in a place of sakana and say, the Eberstein is going to do me a nest. Shema'in oisim li'net, because maybe the Eberstein won't do for him a nest. And even if they do from a nest, Menachem Lemus Choyosev, then the Beit Shemayla will take off some of its chosim in return for it. Amar of Chanan Maikra, where we see a pasuk of that, Dechtiv, Katonti, Mikol Achsadim, Mikol Emes. Yaakov says, I've become small from all the chesed and all the emes that some of its chosim have been used up. So what's the fact of the difference between that and the previous story of Rav and Shmuel? Mepharshim say the difference is, in the case, over there in the case of the wall, it wasn't such an obvious open nest. The wall had already been standing there for 13 years and it hadn't collapsed. Okay, it's shaky, Rav and Shmuel are right to bypass it. But like this, Rav is saying, let's just take the direct way, and because we have Rav Adar Ba'Ava with us, fine, but that's not really standing in a place of sakana. Because okay, the thing's already been standing there for many years. Mashenkin, in Rav Huna's case, where the house was so shaky that as soon as they left, it collapsed, and it was very obvious, that was much more of an obvious nest, and that's what Rav Adar Ba'Ava minded. Yeah, well, he was walking next to the wall, it's the same thing.
What happened with the three kids in
the house? They were hitchhiking near Gush Etzion, I'm given to understand, which is not such a dangerous area, but I don't know. It's not, unfortunately they were found near Hebron, but their bodies, but they themselves were hitchhiking in Gush Etzion. There's a big Jewish area, Efrat, that whole part of the world.
They were
20 miles, I guess, I don't know. What? They were hitchhiking. My have of the Rav Adar Ba'Ava. So what did Rav Adar Ba'Ava do that was so special that gave him such a chosim? He had to itmar, like they said, as follows. Shol Talmidus as Rav Zera, v'amil Rav Adar Ba'Ava. The Rav Zera's Talmidim, or some say Rav Adar Ba'Ava's Talmidim, asked him, "Bameher rach the yomim? From what chos have you lived long?" Amalahem, he tells him, throughout my life, I never was makbid, I never was angry inside my house, even though sometimes a person does need to. Sometimes a person needs to be angry at his family in order to get them to do the right thing. He says, I'm really angry, he just pretends to be angry, but whatever it is, I never even did that. I never walked in front of somebody who's greater than me, which you're supposed to. When you walk next to somebody who's greater than you, you're supposed to walk like next to them and a little bit behind, we learned in Yoma, I think. But so he would be very careful about that he wouldn't even accidentally walk one step ahead. I never thought of words of Torah when I was walking through dirty alleys, which even though he was constantly learning Torah, as is the next thing, he would be careful to stop thinking about it over there. I never walked four amos without saying words of Torah and without wearing tefillin. One of the Mefarshim on Ein Yaakov, I think Eitz Yosef, has a nice vort on this, not walking without tefillin, has a nice vort from Oblivious Riditchever. Tefillin, we know, there's our tefillin, which talk about the greatness of the Eivishter, and there's the Eivishter's tefillin, which talk about the greatness of the Jewish people. When he says that he never walked without tefillin, means it's one or the other. If he's not saying words of Torah, he's either saying the greatness of the Eivishter, or he's defending the Jewish people. Not necessarily physical tefillin, but yeah. It could also mean both. I mean, it could be he was wearing the physical tefillin, but also, yeah. I never slept in the Beis Medrash, neither an actual real sleep nor even a nap. I was never happy when one of my friends tripped up, like in a matter of halacha or whatever. And I never called my friend by his hachinasa. It actually says a nickname that people call him. And others say that he said that I never called him by Chani Chosoy, which means like a nickname that goes hereditary in his family. Tosfos gives an example, a last name. Chani Chosoy would be that Tosfos gives an example, the family Eben Ezra, Rabbi Abraham Eben Ezra, the other one, the whole family is called Eben Ezra. That was their Chanicha. So Rabbi Abba was careful not to call somebody by their Chanicha, according to that explanation. Because it would be embarrassing to him. Because you call a person by his proper name, not by a nickname or something different. Before we talk about, are we talking about embarrassing nicknames, or are we even just talking about like already fine? It's a nickname that may have started out embarrassing, but already maybe they should be used to it after generations. It's still all these different things. By the way, I mean many of these things are actually also halacha. So why is Rabbi Abba making such a big deal out of them? So Maharsha says very simple: they may be also, but they're things that a lot of people are careless about. Rabbi Abba was extra careful about them. Different Mepharshim though talk about different possibilities of how each of these things, there might be cases where technically it's mutter, and yet he was careful. One was, for example, the Mavoris HaMtunafet, you may not be able to help thinking about Torah, but nevertheless he was careful about it. You even have opinions that you are allowed to think words of Torah over there, but he was careful about that. The Lestaski, but the Kolos Chaveri, for example, is, it's not just the obvious thing if somebody makes a mistake that you're not happy about it, that's what we have in Pirkei Avos, but for Lo Sal Tismach. It means even, for example, let's say you get a bargain. Usually, you know, you get a bargain, you're happy. But on the other hand, you know, the other guy lost out something. Rabbi Abba wouldn't even be happy about that kind of thing because somebody else lost out because of it. And so forth with all the other ones. Since we mentioned before Rav Huna, we said that Rav Huna was relying on Rabbi Abba's chosim. So now we have to talk about Rav Huna's own chosim. Rav Huna had plenty of chosim himself. So that's the next thing. Amalei Rava l'Rachman bar Papa. So Rava one time asked Rachman bar Papa, Leim alon marim, hani mili malisa dav obed Rav Huna. Can you tell me, please, some of the great things that Rav Huna used to do? Amalei, so he tells him, Bian kusei l'dechirna. I don't remember anything from when he was younger. V'sivusei dechirna. But I do remember things that Rav Huna used to do when he was older. The Gemara in Marit says that Rav Huna lived to be over 80 years old. So, there's a long time between when he was young and when he was old, yeah. What did he do? The chol yom ha'diva, any cloudy day when there might be rain, have a maskin lebeguhauka d'dava. They would carry him around in a golden sedan chair. A sedan chair is basically like a chair inside like a compartment like, and they carry it on poles on people's shoulders. Sort of like a tent. You see in some old pictures when like carried. Right. Yalta, yeah. Mm-hmm. So carry him around in a golden sedan chair. And he would examine, he'd look over the whole city. Any place where he saw a shaky wall, have a sasala. He would have it demolished. So it's not dangerous for the people. And then e epshalamara, if the owner of the wall has the money to rebuild it, bunny law, then he would tell him, go rebuild it. Now I had to knock down the wall because it was dangerous to the people. Now go ahead and rebuild it. And if the person didn't have the money, then Rav Huna would rebuild it out of his own money. He was wealthy. One thing is that Ben Yoyada points out what the point of him going out in a golden sedan chair is, that part of the thing also. Some of the walls that he's having to tear down in order for people to rebuild or rebuild themselves belong to Goyim. Mela, the Jews will listen to him. He's the Rosh Shiva in the city. The Goyim, how are you going to get them to listen to him? You show. You come with gold and with pomp and ceremony and whatever. Yeah, and they'll listen to you. Another thing Rav Huna used to do, v'chol pam yedemale Shabbos, they'll have a mashadosh shluchol l'shuka. Every Erev Shabbos towards the evening, he would send a messenger to the marketplace. V'chol yaukah, to have a payash l'uginoi, any vegetables that the vegetable seller had left over, zavin lei, he would buy them up. V'shadi lei l'nara, and he would throw them into the river. Payash means leftover. So any vegetables that hadn't sold before Shabbos, and they're not going to keep till Sunday, they didn't have refrigerators in those days, they would buy them and throw them into the river. So the question is, why not give it to the poor people? The answer is Zimnin, the Sam Chadatayu, because then they may come to depend on it. They're going to depend on it. Every Arab Shabbos, we're going to get free vegetables from Ravuna. Velay also the Mizban, and they're not going to come by in the first place. You want them to go buy whatever they're able to. You don't want them to depend on Ravuna. What if 1 week there weren't any extra vegetables left? So better they should buy their own. If there's any surplus, so you don't want them to depend on that, so therefore you didn't want to give it to Daniel.
Take the away.
No, not take away the panos. It's just that they would get used to, we don't have to buy vegetables ourselves because we'll rely on this. But what happens if 1 week there's no extra? Then they want a vegetables for Shabbos. Okay, the question is, Velishdi el behema, so why didn't he throw the vegetables to the animals to eat? Because, Kasava, Michael Adam and Machil el behema, he holds that you're not allowed to take food that's suitable for people and give it to animals. It would be a matter of Baltashkes. Okay, so the question is, well, Elizabeth Klaus, so then why not buy, why is he buying it in the first place? Just don't buy it at all. The answer is, Nimseisim Achshidon Lassid Lavid, because then it's going to make them stumble in the future. You're going to have the gardener who's bringing his stuff to the market to sell is going to say, you know what, next week I just won't bring that much stuff. I don't want to have surplus that I can't do anything with. And then there won't be enough to drive for people to buy for Shabbos. So what would he do? He'd throw it into the river. What's the good of that? They'll float downstream. Other people can find them and eat them. Just on the other hand, the people downstream are not going to come to rely on them because you never know. One time it goes here, one time it goes there, one time this person picks it up, one time that person. So therefore, you know, they'll consider it a bonus or whatever. It'll still get eaten, but this way at least you're not machshava. Another thing Ravuna used to do, he have a milsta das vasa, when he had any kind of medicine, have a mole kuza d'maya, or Hagarzabach changes it to kuza mine, he would fill up a pitcher with that medicine, but tolo le b'sefer d'beisa, and he would hang it on the threshold of his house. But Omar, and he would announce, call the boy, leis of lishkol, anybody who wants, come and taste. Free pharmacy. The ikadamri, others say he used to do a different thing. Milsa de shivsa have a gomer, he knew about shivsa. Shivsa, Rashi explains, is shadim, who harms somebody who eats without washing his hands. So he knew about that. Rabbi Hanan has a different explanation that shivsa is a kind of medicine. They have a manach kuzah d'maya, a dolly lay, so he would hang up a pitcher of water and put it high up. But Amar, and he would announce, call the tzuch lay to the layol, delay the sakin. Anybody who wants, come and use this water to wash your hands so you don't get in danger from the shivsa. And another thing, you have a korech rifta, when Rav Huna was sitting down to eat a meal, korech rifta literally means he'd wrap the bread, because that's how they used to eat in those days, like korech, have a pasach lebava, he would open up his gate, bava is the door, va'amar, and he'd say, kol man de tzorech leisiv aleichel, anybody who needs, come and eat, like we do by the seder. Amar Rava, so Rava, when he heard all that, said, kulam matzina makayma, actually all those things I would be able to do as well. Rava was also rich. Levar mehod le matzina lemevet, except for that one I'm not going to be able to do, to open up my door every time I'm eating and invite everybody in. Mishum de nefishi b'nei chela de mechuzah, because you have many b'nei chela in mechuzah. What does that mean? Rashi says it means poor people. There's a lot of poor people in mechuzah. If I open up my door every time I'm sitting down to a meal, they'll eat me out of house and home. Other Mepharshim say that B'nai Chela means what it sounds like. It means soldiers. There's a lot of soldiers quartered in Mechuzah. If I announce Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechel, it's not just the Jewish poor people are going to come. All the soldiers who are quartered in Mechuzah are also going to come, and I'm not going to be able to manage with that.